Discussion from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and we start a new chapter, Prema Bhakti. In the first verse of this chapter on Prema Bhakti, there's some discussion amongst the commentaries, Vishnu Chakravarti and others, about bhava and prema, because we say that sadhana bhakti leads to bhava, then to prema. And when we come to bhava, then we're not doing sadhana, we're actually directly engaging in Krishna's service. And what was once called sadhana is now called anubhav. Sadhana means the practices or limbs of devotion, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. But now the acharyas, they say these are no longer practices or purification, activities of purification or elevation, but they're actually anubhavas. They're actually expressions of our bhav. And that's some kind of technical term. It looks the same, but it's no longer a practice. It's actually our seva. It's called bhav seva. You must have heard this term, bhav seva, prem seva. Bhav seva becomes prem seva. So the gopis aren't doing shravanam and kirtanam as a sadhana, as a practice. It is their expression of their bhava. It's an outward expression of their bhava. So it's an anubhav. It follows their stahi bhav. That which follows their sthayibhav is an anubhava. And some technical thing. They do shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. They do padasevanam. They do vandanam. They do archana. They do everything. They do shringar seva. They do atmanavedanam in the fullest extent. Their very selves and bodies and samartha rati. Perfect expression of atmanavedanam, of course, is the gopis. And with them, it's an anubhav. But in the same context, what we call sadhana becomes anubhav, that's one point. Then we think that, well, bhava, you come to bhava by sadhana, now you're not doing sadhana, you're expressing anubhavas. And then bhava becomes prema, so then there's no more bhava, there's only prema. So this is what they discuss here. He says that bhava continues to exist and prema continues to exist. And we can read the description. Because this is this is what some argument is there, which the acharyas want to discuss. Because sometimes this is an argument based on Sankhya, but it ultimately comes to the point of bhakti. Because it says here, because generally a point of Sankhya is the effect cannot exist independently of the cause, right? If there's a cause, if there's an effect, there must be a cause. It is similar to raw liquid sugar, which gives up its first state and becomes solid raw sugar. When the solid raw sugar appears, then there's no more liquid sugar. The solid raw sugar then becomes white sugar, then refined sugar. When the refined sugar exists, then the previous states of liquid sugar, solid raw sugar, and white sugar no longer exist. In this case also, bhava becomes prema. Just as sugarcane juice becomes gur, you could say. And thus, bhava should no longer exist. Because we say, oh, we come to the level of bhava, then we come to prema, so then bhava doesn't exist. When prema becomes, and then prema goes on to different states, in Vastu City or in Boma Vrindavan, Sneha, Rag, etc. And then, so then he's also saying, if that's the logic or the Sankhya, then if you come to prema, and Swarup City as a sadhaka in this level, then we take birth in Boma Vrindavan, and now we take birth there, the level of attainment of prema, and now we can go on to sneha. So prema will disappear, then sneha, man. Oh, we go to man, then there's no sneha. And we go to pranaya, then there's no man. He said, no, they're all continuing to exist, and that's what he's explaining. This would be logic, or this would be sankhya, krama, step-by-step understanding or progression, but it's not so. So then he says, when prema becomes sneha, and sneha becomes rag, I mean, of course, pranaya man rag, and then prema and sneha should both disappear, and only rag should remain. Moreover, if the highest state of mahabhav appears in Radha and others, then all the previous states should disappear. Is this true? Yes or no? No. It's not true. Bhava becomes prema without giving up its previous state. Because the achintya shakti present in bhava, prem, sneha, rag, man, pranaya, anurag, and mahabhav, which are the supreme transformations of ladini shakti. In other words, when one comes to the level of bhava, he's only come to the level of bhava, or experiencing bhava because of the ingress or because of the contact of ladini shakti and samvit and shuddha sattva bhakti. So that ladini is not a temporary phenomenon. I mean, but this is, now it's pure bhakti. Pure bhakti is transcendental, which means eternal. Never, you can't destroy it. It doesn't disappear. So it just changes its density or flavor or expression, its shape. Like you may take some clay, and you take it, molding clay, and take it like this, and you make one thing, and then you take it, and they make another thing. The clay is still there. So the basis is bhava, because the basis of all the other expressions that come and go in different circumstances is the bhava, which is ladini shakti. I think that's what he's saying. So then, because these are supreme transformations, he's saying, it's in the course, okay, it's a little difficult to understand. Well, that's what he's saying. It's because of achintya shakti. Achintya shakti means vishuddha sattva, the spiritual potency of Krishna, which is inconceivable, is present when we come to bhava bhakti. And that stays there. So it's present in bhakti, bhav, prema, sneha, all the way to mahabhav. They're all transformations of ladini shakti. Thus, bhav exists separately from prema. And sneha and other advanced stages exist separately from prema. An example is given. The balya body, that means the childhood body of Krishna up to like three years old or so, attains a little more sweetness and attains the pogandha state from 3 to about 6 or 7 without giving up the balya state. The pogandha body then attains more excellence, becomes the kaishura body without giving up the previous condition. It is unlike Krishna's body, transcendental body, such as in the vigraha, is quite different from or unlike the material body of conditioned souls, which upon attaining boyhood, you give up the baby body, because the pastimes of Krishna during all his ages with all his bodies are eternal. And I think I rephrase this in this notebook here. I'm going to just basically, because these nice points to hear again in a different way. Sri Krishna's balya lila, or balya form, balya rupam, and then his pogandha, kaishura forms, as well as the lilas connected with them, are all eternal. But when the pogandha form manifests, the balya deha disappears from this universe and manifests in another universe. And we've heard this in a Krishna book, Prabhupada. Simultaneously, the balya lila is also revealed in that universe. In other words, Bhagavan Sri Krishna can manifest himself somewhere in different planes or worlds in his different transcendental eternal bodies as a child, as Pogandha, as Govinda or Gopinath, coward boy, etc., as a fresh adolescent youth, Rajakishore. As a devotee's prema matures and gets his eternal spiritual form, it gradually increases. And his prema takes the form of sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, and mahabhav, at least in Madhura Rati, Stai Rati. Each state of prema exists within the heart eternally. Each state of prema exists in the heart eternally and manifests according to conditions. A particular aspect of one's eternal loving sentiment or stai bhav, such as sneha, man, pranaya, etc., becomes manifested externally when his sthayibhav contacts an excitant or stimulant element, which of course is udipan vibhav. For example, say one is listening to singing about a particular pastime of Krishna. One emotion, sneha, may arise while other bhavas remain unmanifest within the heart. And then this is the example that's given here. Also by Vishwanath. Here's a material example. In materialistic persons like us, or like me, let's say, we have anger, greed, lust, and other emotions. But we're not displaying all these emotions at the same time, are we? We're not angry and greedy and lusty and happy and peaceful all at once. So this is the analogy that Acharyas give. When one emotion surfaces, for example, lust, the others are still existing, but they remain suppressed within the heart and make their appearance when an occasion arises. So this is, of course, we don't want any occasions to arise where we become lusty or angry or greedy. And we want to chaito dharpada marjana, remove all these ulterior motives and desires from our heart by nam bhajan. So there's a footnote here. So, in other words, when bhava is eternal, and that bhava, when we come to bhava bhakti, basically we come to a sthayi bhava. And that the eternality of the bhava is that sthayi bhava aspect is not being told here, but this is what I understand. That the basic ocean of the eternal transcendental sentiment that one awakens or realizes in relation to Krishna is called the sthayi bhava. Madhur rati or vatsalya rati, parental love or conjugal love, or sakhi rati, friendly love. And this is the permanent bhava or mood of dedication towards Krishna. It's called the sthayi rati. That's the bhava. Then from there, that comes in bhava bhakti. One understands the sthayi rati. One sees Krishna revealed. Krishna is revealed in bhava. His own siddhadeh is revealed. And your own sthayi rati. Then from that, then everything, that stays there, and then that moves in different directions. It becomes condensed and intensified, and then it comes to prema, and then there's the sneha when we go to the Bhava Vrindavan and then Vastu City. So the basic foundation of the whole thing is bhava, which is this Ladini Shakti and Samvit. So this is basically what's being said here. Though bhava matures into prema, it should also be eternal and should thus remain even after prema appears. Of course it does. A devotee can have experiences of lesser intensity in bhava and more intensity in prema, sneha, rag. Well, that's quite obvious. Bhava takes one of five principal forms, which I mentioned, sthayi bhava. This remains within the devotee permanently, with the exception of shantarati. That's nothing. Just like, and then the example, so this is the Vishnu's commentary, not that verse, and I think we can go on to the second verse. Because he's still, this is the first verse, where the definition of prema, a very condensed bhava and has other aspects. Now he goes on further, because he defined bhava, prema in the first verse, now he's taking the particular surup lakshana of prema and the tatastha lakshana and then giving examples and further. Because one of the characteristics of prema is mamata. Mamata bhava, intense feelings of possessiveness towards Krishna. Krishna is mine. Of course, that's mamata bhava. And that's even there in Radharani. She has the greatest degree of that mamata. It's called madhya. Madhya bhava. Krishna is mine. He's mine. My Krishna. And then Rukmini and Dwarka and Chandravali and Vrindavan, they have Tvadiya bhava. Or they have, their mood is that I belong to Krishna. I think, I hope. Most of the time. I mean, I belong to Krishna, but so there's quite a bit of difference to say I belong to Krishna and Krishna belongs to me. Like the wife is thinking, oh, I really belong to my husband and he's my everything. Then you ask the husband, what do you think of your wife? Yeah, she's all right. she belong to you and she's here or there. It doesn't matter to me. So I have these other ones here and there. but Radharani, she's fully convinced and everybody understands it, especially Krishna, that he and Krishna is hers. This is Madhya Bhava. Krishna is mine. And he's always controlled by Radharani and sometimes appears to be controlled by Chandravali. She has that mood. She has this kind of dakshin prakara that I belong to Krishna. At least I hope I do. That's her hope. Well, this is 142. Ananya mamata Vishnu, mamata prema sangata, bhakti ichyuchate bhishma, prahlado dhava darade. And Pancharatra literature describes prema is defined by Bhishma Dev, Prahlad, Uddhav, and Narada. As that bhav, in other words, prema prema is full of bhavas, obviously. There's five bhavas mixed together, the sthayi bhava and the other bhavas. But it's all about, prema means love, and love means different types of feelings and attitudes and moods of dedication and love. And it's all very variegated. And there's different aspects of what makes this prema so beautiful and relishable and attractive. It's not stereotyped, it's not limited, it's not something circumscribed. So Bhishma, they say that bhav, which has possessiveness related to any form of Krishna or Vishnu and no one else. That's why he says, Ananya Mamata Vishnu, Mamata Prema Sangata. Ananya Mamata. That verse, that word is so powerful. Ananya means no other. Ananya. Nothing else to possess. I have nothing else in my possession. I have nothing else to possess. No one else to possess. My only possession, all I have is Krishna. Of course, this is one of the characteristics of prema. Of course, now we may have so many possessions and so many things to possess and want to possess. But ananya mamata, because we also hear a very similar definition of uttam bhakti. Ananya, what is it? Anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi namritam. Anya abhilash means that I don't have any abhilash. Whatever Krishna wants, and he wants, I'll try to offer it to him in a very favorable and pleasing way to his full satisfaction. Anya abhilashita shunyam. There's nothing covering my ambition, nothing covering my practices. I don't have any coverings. I don't have any separate motive, or what they say, separate agenda, popular phrase. Ananya, this avritam, there's no covering, no separate agenda than Krishna's pleasure and his favorability and his happiness. So this is a very nice definition, this ananya mamata, not only mamata, but ananya. Then this goes on, the commentary is less the same thing repeated. 143. Bhakti premochyate bhishma mukyer yatra tu sangata. Mamatanya mamatvena varjite yatra yojana. Now, this is, of course, very interesting. Rupa Goswami, first he quotes a verse from Praman, Pancharatrik, Praman, to give Bhishma's definition. Then he himself, as a great pundit and scholar, he analyzes the verse from the point of vyakaran, grammar, because this is one of they were great scholars and pundits, the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami. The analysis of the grammar of the above verse, which I quoted from Pancharatra, is as follows. Bhishma and other authorities, such as Prahlad, Uddhav, and Narad, they are calling, bhav is called prema, where there is possessiveness related to sangata, to Vishnu or Krishna, and where possessiveness of other things is absent. So this is, there's nothing else, only Krishna. So Vishnu says that this verse analyzes the verse from Pancharatra, and bhakti means bhav. In other words, it should be, prema should be devoid of strong possessiveness of body, house, and other items. Spiritual love means reposing one's affection completely upon one person and withdrawing all affinities for any other person. It's a very difficult thing to imagine, to be in such a position. The spiritual love, this is one definition of spiritual love. Placing or reposing all of one's affection upon one person, which means Krishna or Radha, and withdrawing all affinities from any other person. This is a very nice definition. Giving up, and then Prabhupada explains the nectar devotion. We can just finish on this point. He says that prema means completely giving up so-called love for any other person. So-called love. Prabhupada used to say that devotees are optimistic pessimists. Optimistic pessimists. Very interesting phrase our Gurudev would use. He said that devotees are optimistic pessimists. We're very optimistic. I mean, of course, this is a symptom of bhav, ashabandha. Ashabandha means the spiritual optimism. We're very positive and optimistic about the spiritual possibilities and the unlimited mercy of Krishna, what he can do, he can do anything. That Shakti is there. Gatana Agatana Patiasi Shakti. The Krishna has the power to make the possible impossible or the impossible possible. That's his power. So Well, use it on me, Bhagavan, because I'm an impossible case. I know, as they say in America, basket case, right? It's like, it's worthless. But if you're very compassionate to me, this is my insurance policy is this Shakti. I've taken out an insurance policy in the Gatana Agatana Patiyasi Shakti. Prasya Shakti Vividaya Shriyate Subhavaki Gana Balakriya Shah. You have unlimited potencies, but I don't know about all those potencies, but I'm banking on this one. I'm counting on this one Shakti, that you have the power and potency to make the impossible possible and the possible impossible. So Prabhupada, he said that devotees are optimistic pessimists. So we're optimistic because of this potency and because of Krishna's causeless mercy and Guru's causeless mercy and Mahant Kripa. But we're pessimistic or we're negative about the material prospects. Maya's offerings or Maya's presentations or Maya's promises. We're very, hey, come on, I don't trust you. I'm very pessimistic. I'm very doubtful about you. So this is, now I just wanted to finish this purport Prabhupada mentions here. I'll just read it because everyone has some connection with Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami. This is from the Prema Bhakti chapter of Prabhupada, what he calls Nectar Devotion, chapter 19. He calls it devotional service and pure love of God. When one's desire to love Krishna in one's particular relationship becomes intensified, that means in his Sai Bhav and Bhava Bhakti, it is known as pure love of Godhead. When one thereby becomes completely purified and develops attachment and taste for bhakti, it intensifies and becomes love. The word love can actually only be applied in a relationship with the personality of Godhead. In the material world, love is not applicable at all. What goes on under the name of love in the material world is nothing but lust. There is a gulf of difference, in other words, vast difference between love and lust, like iron and gold. Of course, this is paraphrasing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Narada Pancharatra is clearly stated that when lust is completely transferred, that's interesting, that when lust is completely transferred to the Supreme Godhead and the concept of kinship is completely reposed in Krishna, that is accepted as pure love of God by great authorities like Bhishma, Prahlad, Uddhava, and Narad. Great authorities, this is Prabhupada's translation, the same verse. Great authorities like Bhishma have explained that love of Godhead means completely giving up all so-called love for any other person. According to Bhishma, who is the Mahajan, one of the Mahajans, love means reposing one's affection completely upon one person and withdrawing all affinities for any other person. This pure love can be transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is basically a repeat of what we discussed. So tomorrow we'll continue the discussion of prema. Prema Famartha Mahan. This is the ultimate necessity. It's interesting that definition or that this word prayojan is translated as necessity. Oftentimes prayojan is equated with sadhya. Sadhya means goal or the final attainment or the objective, the aim, the objective, the goal is the sadhya or prayojana. But another meaning of prayojan is ultimate necessity. And the ultimate necessity of everyone is one thing, love. That is the ultimate necessity. And all we need is love. And this is what Lord Chaitanya came. He came to the world at a time when love is hard to find. Kali Yuga is the age of hatred. You can't fight someone unless you hate them. So he came in the age of hating to distribute love. Very interesting. Kali is the age of hating, which is the antithesis of love. He's a Prem Purushottam, Prem Avatar, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So this is Bhakti Yoga means love. This is Prem Bhajan, Nam Prem, Prem Nam Bhajan. And how to attain this Prem? Meditation? No. Yajna? No. Puja? No. Karma? No. Panchapasana? Devopasana? No. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Anasteva, 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 Gatir, Anyata, Anyata. Anyata means no yoga, no karma, no gyan. Only Nam Bhajan, Nam Kirtan. Nothing else. Nothing else will work. So therefore, the conclusion is, Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukta Vinatva Namanamano. Purna Shuddho. The only thing that's completely pure is Krishna's name.